Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Hello, we're going to start the show here in just a second, but guess what? The 2016 Bernie Sanders campaign started at the dinner table of which radio legend? I'll start the clock now. Screw it. It's Bill Press. The answer is Bill Press. Bill has been one of the leading progressive voices in the country, so I'm glad he's still out there on the left, stronger than ever. And right now, he's using that progressive voice in the Bill Press podcast. The Bill Press pod is up twice a week, an in-depth interview with a major newsmaker on Tuesdays, plus his lively end-of-the-week roundtable with three of Washington's top political reporters, digging deep on the latest craziness from the GOP, the massive voter suppression bills in the states, and the Democrats' fight to keep control of Congress in 2022. So I encourage you to join me in subscribing to the Bill Press pod. It's a must listen for all progressives. To sign up, just go to wherever you get your podcasts, search for the Bill Press pod, click on subscribe, and then tell your friends to do the same. Take it from me, I follow the Bill Press pod, and you should too. And now, let the cartoons begin.
Recorded live in the USA, covering the whole wide world.
Right on!
This is the Bob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Hello, Americans. This is Paul Harvey. Stand by for news. On Cullendon Lane, Jacksonville, Florida, Chuck Buick finally gave up. Chuck enjoys marijuana, so he decided to accept Paul Harvey's suggestion. He gave up. He went to the phone. He called me. He ordered a bong. Bong, that's a pipe used to smoke marijuana. I want you to hear this carefully because you're thinking about a Valentine's Day present for somebody you love very much. Quote, my marijuana bong arrived Saturday, and after I opened the box, I was in shock. My eyes were locked open wide. My whole house was now a concert hall. I went to the washroom, and even from there, it sounded like a real live lady singing right outside the door. Quote, with heat eating your ears, you're gouging out and tearing loose and pulling apart, gulping air and tasting black. Your windpipe is closing, and you've lost track of which way is out. There's a searing ember down your neck. Search, rescue, ventilate. Somebody's singed a kitten. Quote, I'm listening to all of my old CDs again because I have never really heard them before. Now, for that Valentine's Day gift, it's not too early for you to choose a bong. If you're anything but happy with it, I'll buy it back. To locate your nearest dealer, telephone 1-800-282. Bong.
Bob Seska.
Eat shit, Paul.
Hey.
The Bob Seska Show.
My favorite tape of all time. Thank you very much. From our nation's capital, it is Tuesday, 420.
A bong.
And this is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hi, what's up? My name is Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hello, day 91 of the Biden-Harris administration. 566 days until the 22 midterms. Friend me on Instagram at the Bob Seska and on Twitter at BobSeska_go. And oh, look, here he comes.
You say Buzz Burger.
A bong.
You've said it all.
Hi, Buzz. How are you?
Oh, hi, Bob. Hi, everybody. You know, whoever edited that tape has never gotten the recognition they deserve.
I know. Next level genius. Yep.
Wow. Paul Harvey. That's who that is. He's Bob. I'm Buzz. And we don't mind the masks, but we don't like the Kevlar.
It's very hot. It's getting warmer. And, you know.
Movement. Yeah. You know, even though they've made some folks sick, we've decided not to pause the jokes. Hey, it's not a perfect show, okay? Yeah, it's not a perfect show, but the blood clots are rare.
See? Always an upside, right?
We've gotten very few complaints about that. they've finally traced the source of those, and maybe you've heard about this in the news. I know I'm still following it. Mm-hmm. Counterfeit COVID vaccination cards are circulating.
Yep.
Fake COVID vaccination cards. They finally traced the source. Mm-hmm. They finally know where these fake COVID vaccination cards are coming from. Yeah, same place that prints fake IDs for Matt Gaetz.
Such a bastard.
The Oscars are coming up on Sunday.
Oh.
And I've seen all the movies as a member of the Screen Actors Guild. I've seen all the movies. And the 2020 nominees include two movies about the Vietnam War, one about a guy going deaf, and another about a guy slipping into dementia.
Mm-hmm.
You see, things were going so well in 2020, that's how we cheered ourselves up.
Yes, they're all such fun movies, aren't they? So fun.
Do you follow the science news, Bob?
A little bit. Yes, I do.
Yesterday, NASA, and I know you love the space news. Yesterday, NASA flew a drone helicopter over Mars.
Yeah.
It's the first time we've ever flown an aircraft over alien soil. And the copter has already reported back. We've already seen the first pictures. And apparently, traffic's backed up on the 5. The Bob Seska Show.
Awesome. Oh, man. Helicopters on Mars. Holy shit. Here's Rocky Mountain Mike.
Some boys kiss me. Some boys hug me. I think they're okay. If they don't show me test results, then I just walk away. They can't cough at because the boy with the surgical mask is always Mr. Right. Because we are living in a bacterial world, and I am a bacterial girl. You know that we are living in a bacterial world, and I am not wishing to hurl.
Oh, yeah. Rocky Mountain Mike, Mary in Ann Arbor.
Oh, that was classic. Mary. I was wondering how Mike made his voice go up like that. That was Mary.
No, yes, yes. When I say Rocky Mountain Mike at the beginning, I mean that he created the song.
He's
and
the producer.
Didn't necessarily perform it. Although it could have been Mike. I mean, you never know. You never know.
Oh, he can do many things.
He's the man of a thousand voices, that's for sure. He can even
gruff but lovable Rocky Mountain Mike.
Let's start the show with something fun, because it's been such a shitty couple of weeks in the news. Just bad news after bad news after bad news.
Grim.
And, you know, we're waiting. The jury is deliberating on the Chauvin case, so we're kind of in a state of limbo with that. And so I thought we should start with something that will make us all laugh. And, of course, what makes us laugh more than Mike Lindell doing stupid shit, the MyPillow guy.
Nobody does it better, Bob.
Yeah, the guy who makes Jesse Ventura sound like a Mensa candidate. I mean, they have the same voice. They're just at different levels of... Jesse Ventura is on his own plane of existence. Mike Lindell is still trying to figure out, whether he should have eaten all those lead paint chips when he was a child. Lindell was doing one of those prepaid... They're like an infomercial, basically, on OAN, where he sits up there, he pays OAN for the privilege of using their airtime, and gets on there for what seems like hours and hours and hours to talk extemporaneously about all the various election-based conspiracy theories, saying, in fact, one of his more recent prognostications is that Donald Trump will be reinstated as president this August.
They've moved the date. They keep moving the date. Yes.
Exactly. Yeah. They're like end of days people. Oh, you know what? The apocalypse is going to come on August the 3rd. And then when it doesn't come, they say, oh, well, we meant September the 3rd. And so that they keep moving it back and back and back.
They have a lot of clerical errors in that department, don't they?
That's right. So while doing his OAN, whatever it was, his OAN conspiracy theory hour, he got a prank call. My first thought was that it was Stuttering John, because the last time I think we talked about a prank call on this show, it was Stuttering John literally prank calling Donald Trump and getting all the way through to Air Force One.
Yeah, he's the king.
But I still can't believe that he was able to do that. I don't know that this Mike Lindell prank call was Stuttering John, but it reminded me of something that you would hear on the Stern Show years and years ago, where you start out with one angle, you kind of worm your way in, pass the call screener with a topic, and then as soon as you get on the air, you start out as if you're normal, and then suddenly you sucker punch them with some sort of...
There's a method. Yeah, I mean, yeah. You know, you and I have worked with radio shows where people did that.
Yeah.
You know, not necessarily to prank us necessarily, but to sneak their way onto the air that sound legit until they get the airwaves.
Oh, yeah. And I spent like half a summer doing that for Don and Mike.
Phone screener. Yeah.
Yeah, where I was prank calling Grease Man.
So that's an important point to remember as we listen to this tape, is this guy got past a phone screener.
Well, actually, you know what? I think this guy just called Mike Lindell's cell phone.
Oh.
Which is what's really crazy about this, because Mike Lindell just is holding his cell phone. And so, here we go. The real Donald Trump is calling us.
Yes, breaking news here with a guest.
Hello?
Hello, yes. I have Mr. Trump on standby. Are you ready?
Yes.
Go ahead.
So Mike Lindell thinks this is Donald Trump calling him.
Oh, right, because someone's told him to stand by.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Hello, everyone.
Oh, we have the president here, our real president, everyone. Hello, Mr. President.
MacronShow.com, bitches. MacronShow.com.
Okay. All right.
I guess that wasn't.
You see what they're doing? They're attacking us. They're attacking us, and this is what, they even came up. They're attacking into our phones. It came up that it was a legitimate call.
So in his paranoia, he goes right to their tapping our phones.
Right. Right. That's how phone tapping works. It calls people.
Yeah, that's right. So I don't know exactly what the prank caller said there that was so obnoxious. I heard the word cum in there.
I heard bitch.
That was part of it. Yeah. But I love Mike Lindell's reaction instantly. They're attacking us. I'm getting phone calls asking for huge erection. I don't know what that means, but
this caller, I mean, he got through, so he gets an A for his technical work.
Yeah.
But,
right.
Execution, not anywhere near Stuttering John's standards.
No.
Because you're supposed to lead him down a primrose path first and then hit him. And he just hit him right away, which I think takes some of the fun out of it. It's knowing that it's coming is where the real excitement is. And,
yeah.
And I mean that with an O.
Right, right. So I would give this prank call probably, maybe a strong B, B minus, somewhere in that range. Uh-huh, it was solid the idea of it itself, that he just decided to call Mike Lindell, yeah.
Even you had a little experience with this with Larry King.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And you did a pretty good job there, I thought, of leading him on and then hitting him with the really silly stuff.
Yeah, that's right. And the silly stuff amounted to me asking what he was having for lunch, which Larry King didn't like that. I mean,
it annoyed him.
Yeah,
it annoyed him. And that was the entertaining part.
Yeah, right. It was, I think the prank calls to Grease Man are where I would kind of lead him on. Like, I would call up Grease Man and say that, you know, I wanted to talk about sex, and of course that would get you right on the air.
Sure.
And so I got on the air and I would ask him about, you know, hobbledoogie or whatever the euphemisms they used to use on the show, and then after engaging him in a little bit of conversation, that's when I would hit him with some obnoxious reference to the Don and Mike show, and then that would be it. Then I would get the boot. It was fun going after Grease Man because Grease Man was so completely up his own ass all the time.
It's interesting, just of note, and I think I mentioned this before, Mike Lindell now spreading out into pillow tops for mattresses and sheets. He has a line of sheets now. So his business is expanding, and it disgusts me to see him on so many channels still hawking those pillows. And all the time, as you mentioned, and I don't think a lot of people are aware of this, that he actually buys time on OAN to talk politics.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty astounding. And the more I read and the more I see, OAN and Fox News have to be stopped. I don't know how. I don't know if it's going to be with an equal time rule or what, but they have to be stopped.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked before about the importance of crushing disinformation in order to make any kind of progress in this country. And in addition to education, crushing disinformation is job one for us. And that puts Fox and OAN and others like them in the crosshairs, in my opinion. I'm all for free speech, but disinformation actually harms the public. And when there is harm, then it's not unregulated speech.
Yeah, and I think this past week, Malcolm Turnbull, the former Prime Minister of Australia, had some things to say about Rupert Murdoch and what he was building with Fox News and how dangerous it is. We heard also this week that Lachlan Murdoch is much more to the right than anyone realized up until this point. And so Fox News and democracy are incompatible. They cannot coexist. It's either one or the other. You either have Fox News. Yeah, I would say I would group Fox News in with the Republican Party more broadly, Fox News being the PR outlet for the Republican Party.
Yes, the voice of.
Exactly. So if you have democracy, you can't have Republicans. But if you have Republicans, you can't really have democracy. Because
not these days, no.
Constantly at odds, yeah.
A little bit off topic, but since we're kind of brushing by, let me ask you this. A lot of people are sort of embracing John Boehner and George W. Bush now for the anti-Republican things they are saying, their criticisms of the current Republican Party. And still other people are saying, don't forgive these guys.
Yeah.
Where do you fall on all that?
Well, on one hand, I do like the idea of people like John Boehner saying things like,
Ted Cruz, go fuck yourself.
That's wonderful. I mean,
music to our ears.
Yeah. And certainly if there's someone who's conservative and attacking the Republican Party, that kind of hits the target more effectively than multitudes of liberals in terms of influencing people who are undecided. And so on.
Or are they instantly discounted by the entrenched conservatives?
Well, the entrenched conservatives are never going to be convinced anyway.
Right. Not even by their own quote-unquote kind.
Right. So it's a matter of those swing voters, insofar as the swing voters even exist. People like Rachel Bitticoffer will tell you they're not as much of a factor as they used to be, but there are still lots of people, moderates, who need to be convinced one way or another, the both sides people, and they can be convinced to a certain extent, and I think that helps. But at the same time, no one's given, I certainly am not going to be giving George W. Bush any awards anytime soon. And certainly John Boehner is in the same category.
You know, I flipped by CBS Sunday Morning and we're doing a feature on George's new book of paintings of Americans of different color and ethnic background.
Yeah.
And he just came out minutes before the show. George W. Bush came out with his harshest criticism yet of the current Republican Party.
Yeah.
I haven't read the details. I just know it was harsh. And so you think, well, that's good, but it was still that whole Iraq thing, weapons of mass destruction, Guantanamo. The torture, you know, it's hard to reconcile these things. It's like Louis C.K. was the funniest comedian around until he wasn't.
Yeah.
You know, and George W. Bush was like the worst guy around until he wasn't. It's just weird and interesting to me and sociologically interesting to see how people, the masses, respond to these seeming personality changes or perception changes.
Yeah, I mean, the point, I think the ultimate goal is to completely marginalize the red hat Republicans, to make sure that they do not get the grown-ups in the room vote by any stretch. Right. And so if George W. Bush comes out and says, like he said today, that the Republicans are isolationist, protectionist, and to a certain extent nativist, that's an exact quote from Bush. Mm-hmm. And obviously these are words that most people, especially the Q people, probably don't understand because they contain multiple syllables.
Right.
But these are things that I think the people who are wired into reality understand. People who are wired into reality and may still vote for Republicans occasionally, those are the people you want to gather over onto our side. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that we forgive them for WMD or we forgive them for the torture regime that we had for so many years in this country, or the wiretapping without warrants, or the financial collapse. I mean, all the awfulness of the George W. Bush administration, plus the reality that it was George W. Bush and his political team, and to a certain extent, John Boehner and his political team, who helped to manifest the current Trump-controlled, the Trumpism-controlled Republican Party. So to a certain extent, there needs to be ultimately a reckoning on that. But I feel like until we get to a certain stage where we have a more permanent majority where there are fewer Republican trifectas and more Democratic trifectas in state government. I think that's when we can start to sort out who was historically wrong and who was historically damaging, who was to blame for this and so on. But we're still kind of in it. And I feel like the more people we have in the trenches, the better. That's always been my point of view, whether it was the Lincoln Project or, you know, on down the line, the Never Trumpers and so on. I think it's valuable to have the maximum number of people. And again, it goes to the notion, Buzz, of conservatives probably carrying a little more weight in terms of their opinions of the Republican Party than liberals, only because
they've
always been standard bearers to a sense, like George W. Bush, for example. But that doesn't mean that I like George W. Bush all of a sudden, nor does it mean that I like John Boehner, even though I love this.
Ted Cruz, go fuck yourself.
Listen to that all day.
Your enemy can be your ally when you have a common cause, at least for that short period of time.
Yeah. Indeed. So there is nothing wrong. There is nothing politically wrong. There's nothing morally wrong with fighting alongside people who you previously loathed in order to achieve a very specific goal. I mean, we continue to be in an existential crisis in this country with a Republican Party that, if it ever gains full control of the federal government again, we are in for shit that's even worse than what we saw during Trump. And we may not be with all of the commensurate madness that we were getting with Donald Trump, but still, from a policy perspective, from a politics perspective, it's still going to be immensely damaging. I mean, who knows if they're going to accept the concept, if they lose, if they gain power and then lose again, who knows if they're going to accept that loss?
They tap and attack our phones.
That's right. With names like Hugh G. Rection. I don't understand what that even means, but they're getting into my phones.
You've just listed multiple reasons to support what I've been saying over the last few weeks, which is now is the time for everyone to get involved in state and local politics, because that's part of that trifecta to which you referred.
That's right.
That's part of regaining control. Our majority is, as Bob also mentioned a moment ago, tenuous. It needs to be a stronger hold. And in order to do that, we need turnout. Again, all of this underscores the need for political activism and political action and political involvement now.
Yep.
Now and continuously through the 2022 election.
Yeah. And we're looking at a Republican Party, too, that is absolutely soulless. We've got a couple of topics that I want to talk about today. There was a new gun law that was that the Texas House passed. There was also a law about, you know, it's meant to address rioting, but, you know, your governor there, Ron DeSantis, signed this legislation that would...
I'll weigh in on that.
Yeah, it's really, really bad. Really, really bad for protesters and just... you know what? Let's just... Fuck it. Well, let's just talk about it now, because this is... this is one of those things. I think we've talked about similar laws here recently that are being passed, and I just cannot believe they're doing this shit in the face of... the death of people like Heather Heyer. What we're talking about here is DeSantis in Florida signed a bill that, among other things, legalizes running over protesters with your car. According to the Orlando Sentinel, the law, which goes into effect immediately, grants civil legal immunity to people who drive through protesters blocking a road, which Democrats argued might have protected the white nationalist who ran over and killed counter-protester Heather Heyer during the Charlottesville protests in 2017. It also makes blocking a highway a felony offense.
Yeah, under this law, three people constitute a riot.
Yeah.
Under this law, people convicted with this law, lose their voting privileges, lose their voting rights.
Mm-hmm. Can you imagine, in the wake of 9/11, passing legislation making it legal to take box cutters onto airplanes? I mean, that's how insensitive this is. I mean, the memory of Charlottesville is still fresh in everyone's mind. And Charlottesville isn't the only one. There were numerous cases over the past 4 years since Charlottesville where people have driven their cars into protesters. With malice or not, it has happened on many occasions. I don't know the exact number, but this is something that is actually a thing. Mm-hmm. And what the Republicans are doing, while at the same time accusing Democrats of not supporting free speech in the First Amendment, they're saying that this is okay behavior to take your car and to run over protesters, to use it as a 2,000-pound bullet and plow into a crowd of peaceful protesters just because they're in your street. That is, I can't even come up with adjectives that are appropriate enough for how fucking horrendous that is.
I saw a part of that news conference.
Yeah.
The Polk County Sheriff, Polk County, Florida Sheriff, stood alongside DeSantis in the news conference that announced the signing of this bill.
Mm-hmm.
And that sheriff showed pictures of the fun of Florida, people on beaches, Mickey Mouse at Disneyland, and all the great things about it. He said, we love people coming here. He said, now, people are moving here hundreds a day. The actual number is about 1,000 a day. About 1,000 people a day move to Florida. And the fact of the matter is, most of them are coming from the Northeast, primarily New York State.
Yeah.
That's where the new Floridians are coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And they're bringing their Democratic votes with them.
Yeah.
This is going to help Florida turn blue. And we're already surprisingly close to that line.
Mm-hmm.
This can help immensely. And this sheriff gets up with DeSantis and says, so these hundreds of people who are moving here every day, we want to keep this a fun place. And so we're gonna enforce the laws. And that's why the cops and the governor are going to keep this a safe state. And if you do move down here from somewhere else, leave your Democratic votes behind. Because this is not how we do Florida. I have a relative who has recently told me much the same thing in casual conversation, non-political. I mentioned 1,000 people a day are moving to Florida. And he said, they better not be from New York. They better not be from the Northeast. And I, well, that's where they're coming from, you know. But that's the climate here.
Yeah.
And on the subject of cruelty, not to get afield from what you're talking about, the Texas law, loosening the gun law there, one day before a former law enforcement officer shoots three people in a domestic killing.
Yeah.
The insensitivity that you mentioned is breathtaking.
Oh, yeah. Same thing happened in Tennessee, where the governor of Tennessee passed a piece of legislation. They called it constitutional carry, is the latest fucked up euphemism that they're toying around with. And that happened right before the shooting in, I believe it was Knoxville, the mass shooting there. And so, you know, with Texas, this is another, oh my God, I can't even wrap my head around how egregious this is as far as profit. Get ready for the profits rolling in. And that's the whole point of this. And so in
every
Texas,
every time there's a shooting, the sales go up.
Yeah. So Texas, the House in Texas, so granted, this isn't law yet, but it's probably going to pass. The Texas House has passed this law allowing for open carry without a permit for all handgun owners. So this, of course, is going to be exploited. You're going to have not just handgun owners, but AR-15 owners walking around and strapped and packed. Yeah.
And untrained.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, the irony of all of this is, I mean, you think of Texas, you think of cowboys, you think of the Old West and so on. You know, they didn't allow open carry in places like Tombstone, Deadwood, Abilene, or Dodge City. I mean, you think Wild West.
Yeah. Miss Kitty wouldn't let you bring a gun into the Long Branch.
That's right. Wyatt Earp, the first thing he did when he became sheriff of Tombstone was, you know, confiscate the guns. You can own a gun, but you can't walk around Tombstone with your goddamn gun. Right. The people from 150 years ago knew better. They understood that if people walking around with firearms and itchy trigger fingers and lots of booze, we're going to end up shooting each other in the faces. And that's how things were going to wrap up. And so they banned open carry in all these places that we think of as the Wild, Wild West.
I don't know how to counteract the anti-reality they weave into our language with phrases like constitutional carry.
Right.
There is simply nothing in the Constitution about open carry. There just isn't.
Right.
So it's a made-up phrase, and if you repeat it often enough, people will begin to believe that it is part of the part of the Second Amendment.
Yeah, yeah. And in fact, I saw a piece in Politico magazine this week. It's called How the NRA Rewrote the Second Amendment. And it's very informative. I tweeted about it. It's with the, all I wrote above it as I quote tweeted, I said, required reading. Because this is how the NRA managed to bastardize the intent of the Second Amendment, where prior to the NRA getting their grubby little greasy bloody hands all over it, the Second Amendment was widely considered to be, you know, a relic of the past when states had, you know, citizen managed militias and so on. And so over time, though, the NRA meddled with it and was able to engage in this unprecedented PR campaign to turn it into something that had nothing to do with militias, where the Second Amendment became bastardized into something about, well, have all the guns you want and carry them anytime you want. It's your constitutional right to do it, you know, because liberty, etc. And it's a wonderful piece that documents that entire thing. Again, How the NRA Rewrote the Second Amendment by Michael Waldman. I strongly recommend that. And it's
excellent.
In fact, it goes back. The date on this is May 19, 2014. So it still applies.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, very much true. And as I recounted on an earlier show, the history, the NRA was originally a gun safety organization.
Yeah.
But it was eventually overtaken by the gun manufacturers and became a lobby for them. The NRA tweeted the other day in all caps. The NRA Twitter account wrote, in all caps, "Don't tread on our right to bear arms." And I retweeted it saying, well, the first time, simply stop killing people, in all caps.
Yeah.
And another retweet, I decided to retweet it again with another all caps response saying, stop ignoring the part about well-regulated.
Well, that's the hook that they don't understand. And it becomes almost to the point where repeating that to them is almost redundant now, where we've done it so often, it doesn't seem to stick as well as it used to.
Well, why does constitutional carry stick and well-regulated doesn't? I say we keep pushing well-regulated.
Oh,
I say even though it would seem to be having no effect, I say keep repeating it in much the same way they keep repeating things like constitutional carry.
In fact, that's what the Republicans have been able to do time and time again. The word liberal, for God's sake. They were able to bastardize the word liberal for many years.
And I think that's why liberals came up with the term progressive.
Yeah.
And it's a better term anyway, because progressive means to move forward.
Yeah.
Conservative means to hold back.
That's right.
It's that simple.
Mm-hmm.
That's your choice, is that simple.
Yeah.
Move forward or hold back.
Well, there's also, speaking of guns, Ted Nugent has announced today that he has tested positive for COVID-19.
And oh, my gosh.
This is right on the heels of us talking about Ted Nugent and say, you know, he was saying a couple of weeks ago that whatever happened, what about COVID's 1 through 18? Did we isolate because of those?
Very funny, Ted.
Yeah, hilarious. And so now it says here, according to the Daily Beast, Ted Nugent, the right-wing singer who spent the past year boring on about his ridiculous coronavirus and anti-vaccine conspiracy theories, has announced that he's fallen badly sick with COVID-19. Since the pandemic began last year, Nugent has described it as a scam. He ridiculed mask wearers as sheep and proudly announced that he would never take a coronavirus vaccine. But he changed his tune on Facebook Live on Monday when he complained to viewers, "I have had flu symptoms for the last 10 days. I thought I was dying. Just a clusterfuck. I was tested positive today. I got the Chinese shit." He can't even say the fucking name of it. You know, that's like it's like the doctor tells you you've got hepatitis and you call it a liver thingy. It's just like, it's so immature. So he continues to say, "I've got a stuffed up head, body aches. My God, what a pain in the ass. I literally could hardly crawl out of bed the last few days." It's so sad, isn't it? I know.
In the words of W.C. Fields, how unfortunate.
But, you know, maybe it's not COVID-19. Maybe it's COVID-15 or COVID-11
might be
or something like that.
One of the earlier iterations of a disease that didn't exist until 2019.
Or what if he's got all 18 of them up to COVID-19? Maybe he doesn't have COVID-19. Maybe he's got 1 through 18.
There you go, wishful thinking.
Okay, let us talk now about our Patreon page. I want to thank all of our new subscribers. We surpassed 20 new members on our Patreon page at BobSuskaShow.com in just a few days. And now I'm going to be making at least one behind-the-scenes video for all of our patrons. So if you're just joining us, for the months of April and May, whenever we reach the threshold of 20 new subscribers, I'll produce an all-new behind-the-scenes video exclusively for our Patreon members. And all that happens at BobSuskaShow.com. $5 a month, just $5 a month, is going to get you our post-mortem shows recorded after the end credits on our Tuesday and Thursday shows. $10 per month, you're going to get the post-mortem shows plus the subscription-only after-party podcast with me and Kimberly Johnson every Friday. And for $15 per month, you get all of that, plus we take out all the commercials just for you. That's BobSuskaShow.com, or just click the all caps Patreon link beneath the logo at BobSuska.com. Thank you.
The Bob Seska Show.
We would step outside in rhythm. Now we're so off-kilter. You'd be dancing with him. I'm afraid you killed her. I cry on the phone.
Oh yeah, this is Cookie Waking the Neighbors with the low end on this song. I mean, I'm wearing headphones, but I think our entire apartment building is wide awake by this point because of the bass. Gotta love that bass. This is a song called Off Kilter. Instagram.com/JenLucyCook to support Cookie. One of our favorites on the show here. Bob Seska Show, or I'm sorry, BobSuska.com/music. I'm getting all my Bob Seskas mixed up.
So many shows.
Yeah, so many shows. So many domain names. Yeah, BobSuska.com/music to submit your music to the show. We're going to have all new music coming up in May. Right now we're doing a rewind to April 2020, replaying all of those songs because fuck it, why not? Okay, so the jury is off deliberating on the Chauvin case. The defense is closing arguments. I don't know if you caught any of the closing arguments yesterday, but they were...
I did, yes.
They were predictably ludicrous, and I have, especially after hearing how ludicrous the defense was, I have even less hope that the jury is going to turn out a good verdict
in
all this.
You tend to be pessimistic in these situations. Yeah. I'm a little more optimistic about it. And, good. You know, there have been a lot of bashing that I understand about the defense attorney. Let me open a cold one here. There we go. There's been a lot of criticism of the defense attorney, and I understand the feeling behind that criticism. Mm-hmm. Put yourself in those shoes. I mean, your job is to give your client the best defense, even if you know it's wrong. Even if you know he's guilty. Even if you know everybody else is right. The law says in the United States, the law says he gets a defense.
Yeah.
What would you have said in his shoes? There were deplorable things there. That's kind of what you'd expect. Again, I'm not defending the attorney, but he's doing his job, and a difficult one it is, in that his client is pretty clearly guilty. And by the way, before you proceed, and we want to hear all this, but something just came in from the Associated Press that I think is going to take some of the heat off Maxine Waters for her comments about the verdict. President Joe Biden says he is praying for the right verdict in the Derek Chauvin trial and said that he believed the case to be overwhelming.
Okay.
So if Maxine Waters tampered, then so did Joe, I guess.
Yeah.
I hope that takes some of the heat off of her. If I was going to be mad at anybody, I think it would be the judge who has shown some bias in this case.
Oh, yeah.
Including his unnecessary reprimand of Maxine Waters.
Well, let me explain, I think, my cynicism when it comes to... When it comes to the jury, pessimism and cynicism. Pessimism driven by my cynicism about my fellow American right now, who I feel like I'm just at a low ebb right now in terms of my confidence in the American people to make the right choices. After the past 4 years, I'm just like, wow, we've got a lot of fucking morons in this country.
We do. But you're in the majority, Bob. Yeah. We're in the majority. Yeah. And this last election showed that a majority of Americans can make a right decision. So I see a glass half full.
Well, when the jury here, I mean, obviously the defense attorney, Eric Nelson's whole goal here is to sow reasonable doubt in the jury.
Right.
And exactly. So what his arguments were appropriately ludicrous. I mean, I think some of these things were immensely insensitive to say, irrespective of the mandate of a defense attorney to defend his client. I think you also have a responsibility to be at the same time rational. You want to make rational arguments. But to say something like, quote, people sleep in the prone position, people suntan in the prone position, people get massages in the prone position, as to downplay the position of George Floyd's body as he was being murdered
of
by Derek Chauvin.
We agree that sometimes lawyers knowingly make ludicrous arguments because that happens to be the gig. That happens to be where the check is coming from.
It's
terrible to hear. We hope that it doesn't sow doubt in the minds of the jury. That is clearly, as you said, the object of that, to sow doubt that maybe there was another reason that George Floyd died that not entirely related to Derek Chauvin's knee being on his neck for 9.5 minutes. Good luck, buddy. It's a pretty convincing case. I think the jury knows. I think even conservatives on the jury have to know what the consequence would be of letting Chauvin off.
Yeah, yeah. These are the kind of arguments that make certain jurists go, what if he was pretending? I don't know. Like, that was one of the arguments, that George Floyd was pretending to be dying. That was one of Eric Nelson's
arguments. It's a thing people often do before they actually die. First they pretend to die, and then they actually die.
Oh, my God. Yeah, yeah. And so, of course, that gets implanted into people's heads. These are deliberate in terms of trying to ascertain that reasonable doubt in the jurors. And so, meanwhile, Eric Nelson's closing argument featured video of Chauvin kneeling on George Floyd's neck while a bystander tells him he trained at the police academy and that, quote, that's some bullshit. You're stopping his breathing. And as Aaron Rupar said on Twitter, it's hard to fathom how this helps Chauvin's case. So it's little things like that. Like, you wonder, well, what the hell is Eric Nelson thinking? And then he said Derek Chauvin would have been justified in using even more force against George Floyd. And I think, when it comes to the individual arguments, my rational brain goes to, well, if I'm Eric Nelson and I have to defend this guy, I'm going to come up with reasons that say, well, he was just doing his duty as a cop. But you try to go for that instead of the bullshit.
I think if there's any reason to be nervous about the possible verdict, and I don't disagree with anything you've said here. Certainly the possibility exists. I can't see it happening. I think we all hope that it doesn't.
Yeah.
I can see how a conservative juror would be looking for a way to exonerate the cop in this. But, man, I just, with this surrounded by 11 other jurors, even though it only takes one to hang the jury, I don't know. And I know I've been on a jury before, and I've sort of been the lone voice on a jury before, and I know what that can be like, too. And, if there's anything to be worried about as far as the outcome of this trial, it is that the judge has refused to let the jury see notes, transcripts, or any other previous evidence from the trial. Hmm. They can't. The jury's not allowed to go back over the transcript to clarify. Well, one juror could say, I thought he said this. And another juror could say, I thought the witness said that. And they can't look at the transcript to know for sure.
That's madness. That's like the loopy judge in the trial of the Chicago 7. That's
right.
What that reminds me of.
Yes.
Where you got Michael Keaton coming in as Ramsey Clark, the former attorney general, and testifying that this is a political trial. This is politically motivated by John Mitchell because he was pissed off that Ramsey Clark didn't resign when he was supposed to. And so he went after the Chicago 7 as vengeance against the left. And then the judge refuses to let the jury hear the testimony or read the transcript of the testimony.
Right.
It's fucking horseshit. And that's the other element here that makes me cynical about the outcome about of all of this, Buzz, is the is Judge Cahill and his reactions. Not only to that, you know, we all saw the video of him being a dick and kind of mansplaining to the to that off-duty EMT who wanted to help but wasn't allowed to help and was testifying.
At the same time, the judge instructed the jury that they do not have to consider other factors in the death of George Floyd. They can simply decide on the knee on the neck and disregard all of the medical conditions. That, in fact, I think he instructed them to do so. So it'll be interesting. It's like nobody's completely bad. Nobody's completely good. This guy seems mostly bad with a little bit of good.
Yeah.
So we will hope that that works in our favor as well. Yeah, there are opportunities here for this to go sideways, but I just don't think it will this time.
Yeah, I just get the sense Judge Cahill listens to certain AM radio talk shows on his way to work every morning.
Yeah, I got that vibe.
Yeah,
I got that.
And maybe owns even at least one red hat, you know what I mean, with white lettering.
You're taking it that far.
Right. I don't put anything past these guys now. I mean, I call me paranoid, but I'm always, in a sense, figuratively looking over my shoulder for red hats because, again, this, I'm still in that mode where this
somebody,
is just,
somebody has to do it. We've chosen you, Bob.
So Judge Cahill on Maxine Waters' comments, he said, I'll give you that Congresswoman Waters may have given you something on appeal that may result in this whole trial being overturned. He also said a congresswoman's opinion really doesn't matter a whole lot. Trying to make a bigger deal out of this than it actually needs to be made because people are all weighing in. And for some reason, Maxine Waters gets singled out, even though...
Even though Trump went on inciting trouble for 4 years, especially at the end. Yeah, it's hypocritical as usual for Republicans. I'm still not clear on the exact timeline of this because I am of the impression that Maxine Waters didn't make her remark until after the jury had been sequestered, which it was as soon as the judge gave the jury its instructions yesterday afternoon. So the jury's been locked up since, was it before yesterday afternoon that Waters made these remarks?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Because if the jury didn't hear it, it didn't make a sound.
Right.
And therefore is not grounds for a retrial.
Well, there was no chastising of podcaster Steven Crowder from the judge. Steven Crowder has 1.2 million followers on Twitter. Maxine Waters has 1.6 million followers on Twitter. They have basically equal followings in terms of their social media presence and how their words resonate. And yes, Maxine Waters is a congresswoman. Steven Crowder is a dickbag on who does a podcast on YouTube. And so there is a difference in terms of who they are and what kind of weight they bring to the table. But their reach is very similar in terms of the influence and their audiences. And so, you know, you get singling out of Maxine Waters, but Steven Crowder, who, by the way, the reason I'm bringing him up a couple of weeks ago, reenacted the murder of George Floyd behind his studio and had someone kneeling on his chest and, you know, one of his interns or something dressed as cops kneeling on his chest for 9 minutes.
Because there's no video of the actual incident, he thought it was important to stage it for us.
That's right.
It's like Barr's interpretation of the Mueller report.
Yeah, exactly. So you have to wonder, why is Maxine Waters being singled out here? If we're going to single out people who have broad reaches, who have big soapboxes to stand on, why are we just singling out Maxine Waters here? I wonder.
She shouldn't have said it. I mean, I'll just come right and say it. She, at least not at that time. She could have waited, as the president did, until the jury was sequestered to make that remark. And it's dangerous for public figures. We certainly learned this from Trump, to comment on ongoing criminal cases. Mm-hmm. It's just bad business. And smarter politicians, I'm sorry to say, would not have made such a remark. I understand emotions are running high. If she could have held that until for an hour or two or however long it was until the jury were sequestered, that would have been far more helpful. This wasn't helpful what she did, but you're right. It pales in comparison to what others, what Republicans do all the time, what Trump did throughout his 4 years, and especially at the end, leading up to the insurrection.
Yeah.
It's it's okay for him to do that, but it's not okay for Maxine Waters to make the remark that she did. I don't understand it. And you know, I think it's a distraction, frankly.
It's the old trope. It's okay if you're a Republican. I-O-K-I-Y-A-R. That's the acronym. It's okay if you're a Republican. And that's what happens time and time again. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, that's why you have lopsided representation on Meet the Press and things like that. Because, you know, the Republican nonsense, they tend to get away with it more often, I guess, because to a certain extent, people expect the Republicans to blurt nonsense all the time. You know, I kind of tweeted about something along these lines today. In terms of eliminating the legislative filibuster, you know, as soon as Mitch McConnell gets a majority in the Senate, and you know, even before getting a Republican president, he could do it. He's just that much of a dick. But let's say a Republican majority in the Senate and a Republican president. As soon as Mitch McConnell gets those two things, he's absolutely going to eliminate the legislative filibuster. Why? Because it's okay if you're a Republican. He's not going to receive the blowback that the Democrats are receiving now just by entertaining the idea, much less doing it.
And what you were rightly saying on Twitter is, let's, if we don't do it, he will.
Mm-hmm.
So let's do it and do it now. We know we need it. We know we need it.
Well, now we've opened the can of worms. You know what I mean? We've shown our cards. We've laid our cards down on the table. Mitch McConnell knows. So he'll, you know, Mitch McConnell will do it just because we threaten to do it.
They were going to do it anyway, so we might as well do it now.
Exactly right.
And that's all he needs. Like I said, it doesn't even matter if Joe Biden is still president, because Mitch McConnell will do it just to say fuck you to the Democrats. That's how shitty he is.
We got to win. We got to win big in 2022 from the local races on up.
Yeah. And that's why Manchin and Sinema, what they need to start realizing is, I get they're boxed in by demographics in their state. But the fact of the matter is, the Republicans are going to do this anyway. Why? Because they always do. We need to start playing like the Republicans. And that doesn't mean doing illegal things or breaking the rules necessarily. But there are the corners we can shave off the process in order to get some of these things done, and the Democrats just get too timid when it comes to that, or at least some of the hotheads like Manchin and Sinema, who are just, you know, one day they're for it, the next day they're against it, and it's just a clusterfuck. So, and immensely frustrating at that, too. Okay, we're way late for a break. Let's take a short break, and we'll continue with the show right after these words.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out, unless you're using Bubble Genius bath and body products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
Bob Seska.
The Bob Seska Show. Indie Music Rewind. April 2020.
The urgency, it's killing me. I feel you stepping close to danger.
My friend Mike Farley right here, one of the greats on the show. Mike Farley is so utterly responsible for so much of the music, introducing me to many of the bands and recording artists that he represents.
We are grateful.
Yeah, MichaelJMedia.com is his website. Mike Farley is a song called Blue from the album the same name.
Good guy.
And yeah, we've got one of his clients on Wednesday's show this coming up tomorrow. It's going to be so much fun. We've got Bob Malone on the show tomorrow. We played one of his latest singles called Good People on the show recently.
Yes, I remember.
One of my faves, and he's an amazing piano player, singer, songwriter, all of it. He does it all.
Human.
Yeah, human being. So I can't wait to learn more about Bob Malone tomorrow, and he's going to perform at least, I'm going to get at least one live performance out of him tomorrow. I always love doing that, and I got to thank all of the musicians we have on the show who have performed live on the program, including Mike Farley, including Jen Farley, including Nick Lutzko, including Michael McDermott, and now we get Bob Malone tomorrow, so stand by for that.
It's so great to be able to hear live music like that.
Yeah.
I've always enjoyed that when a musician came on a radio show, or in this case a podcast, and played something live. It's just the best. I enjoy those performances immensely. So much to look forward to, and I know a lot of people were looking forward to today, 420, and I saw a tweet last night. Yeah. This is true. I saw a tweet last night that said they were so excited about today being 420, they were leaving out milk and cookies for Willie Nelson.
A bong.
Ah, yes.
Yeah.
Perfect.
And if you've never tried Willie's brand.
Are they good? Have you tried them?
Let's say I was in Colorado once. Okay. And I had the opportunity to legally partake of Willie's brand. Oh man, talk about a relaxed, happy, functional, high functioning, very, very happy stuff. So really heavy, I think, on the sativa, I believe, if I know anything about this at all.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just the happiest thing you'll ever encounter. Willie has the happy stuff.
By the way, I love it when you play innocent on all of these things.
Let's say one time I was in Colorado. Let's say that.
I tried the cookies, but I didn't swallow.
That's right.
So let's see what else here today. Oh, yeah. China and Russia are fueling Q conspiracy theories. What a shock. What a shock that we're hearing this now.
Of course they are, especially Russia, I'm sure.
Yeah. An analysis by the Sufin Center, a New York-based research firm focused on national security issues, found that nearly one-fifth of the 166,000 QAnon related Facebook posts between January 2020 and the end of February 2021 originated from overseas administrators. Foreign-based actors, principally in China and Russia, spreading online disinformation rooted in QAnon conspiracy theories, fueling a movement that's become a mounting domestic terrorism threat, according to a new analysis of online propaganda.
I guess one in five of such tweets and posts come from a foreign country.
Jesus.
Which according to, and again, I don't know if this is true or not, but somebody posted that 20% constitutes enough to consider this an act of war.
Yeah, yeah.
And Russia has always specialized, in recent decades, Russia has specialized in this divide and conquer technique. Dividing Americans is what Russia lives, is what Vladimir Putin lives for. He gets up every day hoping to further divide the U.S. as if it can be any more divided. He has certainly played a role in the division we've seen so far, and this, as Bob has just described, is how they're doing it.
In the worst, most villainous way possible, this is an ingenious idea for Vladimir Putin, and it's because he can spend minimal amounts of money. He doesn't need to build up any hardware. He doesn't have to militarize in any way against Western nations in order to infiltrate them, in order to almost literally invade us. And so all he has to do is get a bunch of people in a big room known as a click farm, and they can do all kinds of fucking damage. And of course, the fertile ground continues to be goddamn Facebook. And yesterday I noticed there's a Twitter account called Facebook's Top 10 that updates about once every 24 hours with a list of the top performing link posts by US-based Facebook pages in that 24-hour period. Here now, the top 10 top performing link posts on Facebook pages in the last 24 hours. Number 10, Ben Shapiro. Number 9, IJR. Number 8, Mike Huckabee. Number 7, Ben Shapiro. Number 6, Ben Shapiro. Number 5, Franklin Graham. Number 4, Ben Shapiro. Number 3, Ben Shapiro. Number 2, Dan Bongo Bongino.
Of course.
And number 1, guess what? Ben Shapiro. And meanwhile, every single one of these douchebags continues to scream all over social media about how Facebook and all the other platforms and Twitter are constantly throttling their reaches and suspending them and banning them. All the crybaby bullshit. Meanwhile, they've got the top 10 most viewed links on Facebook, for God's sake.
And just trying to deal with Rupert Murdoch to carry Fox News on Facebook as well, while leaving some others out. It's clear... It's become increasingly clear where Facebook's politics lie. And, you know, every day I have such good friends, and have had them for so long on Facebook. But every day and then there are the breaches and the hacks and the security, you know, and every day I regret more and more being there.
Yeah, I know. I wish I could divorce myself from Facebook. I feel like I still need to do it just to get the word out about the show. But putting personal information on Facebook anymore has, I've just run away from that. And what I've done stupidly, and I know this is stupid, is some of my personal shit goes on Instagram now, and which is also owned by fucking Facebook. Right. You can't, no matter what you do, you can't get away from Mark Zuckerberg.
God, that's a fate worse than you expected, isn't it?
But yeah. I mean, one of the reasons why we see so much of Ben Shapiro on Facebook in that top 10 list is because he worked out a deal. He's got that Daily Wire platform that hosts all of the podcasts, and they've got a website with news and so on and opinion. And they cut a deal with Facebook to allow them to post this kind of shit, the kind of shit that other people are getting suspended for.
Oh, yeah. Facebook is for sale, no doubt about it.
Yeah, absolutely. So just back to...
I just wanted to add to your comment about Putin and how he's able to effect this budget war on the United States, a war that costs him virtually nothing and further divides the country, dangerously so. And I just wanted to say gun sales through the roof, you know, we're arming ourselves to the teeth. But when America collapses, it'll happen without a shot being fired.
Oh, yeah.
It'll happen because of exactly this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. This kind of division of the country by hand-wringing Vladimir Putin.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I go back to the ongoing thesis, the thing that I've repeated a million times, which is that Vladimir Putin wouldn't be doing this if he didn't think that we were ripe for it. You know, you need.
Oh, yeah, he sees it working. He has seen it succeed.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. We are utterly susceptible to this shit. And that doesn't necessarily single out Americans. I think people in general are susceptible to this level of disinformation because we can't yet discern between fact and fiction in an online setting, certainly not on social media.
Sadly, due to lack of education, some of us cannot.
Yeah. And along those lines, before we wrap up, just back on the QAnon thing. Time magazine piece was just published yesterday that talks about how QAnon disciples are running and winning local offices all across the United States.
See, this is what I'm saying. Get involved in local politics now.
From Michigan to California and Las Vegas to rural Washington State, dozens of recently elected local officials have promoted elements of the outlandish Q conspiracies and so on. And it's a symptom of how widely the QAnon delusion has spread in the U.S. In December, an NPR Ipsos poll established that 1 in 3 Americans believe in some of the key tenets of the extremist ideology. Another survey by the Conservative American Enterprise Institute found 29% of Republicans agreed that Trump has been secretly fighting a group of child sex traffickers that include blah, blah, blah. On Facebook alone, QAnon groups amassed millions of members before they were shut down, according to an internal company audit last August. In at least 24 Republican candidates. At least 24 Republican candidates who embraced the conspiracy ran for congressional seats in 2020. Two of them won. Lauren Boebert, of course, Marjorie Taylor Greene, and so on. And so it goes on. And you know, it's one of those things where it doesn't have to be this way. You're exactly right, Buzz. Run for office. Carlos Alcerocchi, in fact, is all over Twitter every goddamn day trying to tell Jimmy Dore that he should run for office. That's
just get involved. I'm asking people to just get involved, become aware of your local races. And I know it's harder to do with so many newspapers literally folding now.
Absolutely.
It's so important. Be the opposition, even if you're not going to be the candidate. And hey, there's obviously no reason you can't be. Mm-hmm. But even if you're not going to be the candidate, work against these folks that Bob just described.
Yeah.
We can't let this continue.
Yeah, again.
And that's why it all starts. And any member of Congress, any senator, any representative in Washington will tell you that their politics and their votes are influenced by what happens at their state level.
Yeah.
And if you look at who's running the states right now, it's Republicans and increasingly, as Bob just pointed out, Q.
Yeah, yeah. And we're never going to be able to roll back gerrymandering and things like that if we still have all of these Republican trifectas. So state-level government, that makes these midterms coming up. I don't know if there are a whole lot of state legislator seats
up in 21, but this year...
I
know it's early, but look at these local races Bob just described. Yeah. If that doesn't give you a sense of urgency, I don't know what would.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And again, this year, this is the year for local races. We're all going to be voting on local campaigns. It's not going to be a lot, as I said, not a lot of state-level races this time around, this year. But in 22, tons of them. Tons of them. And we need to all get on the same page. We all need to hustle leading up to that.
Amen. Now, how the hell did we run out of time already?
I don't fucking know. We went long anyway. Yeah. Yeah.
I blame the weed.
Yeah, that's
right. A bong.
I blame that, too.
Happy 420.
Yeah, coming up on the postmortem show, I'm going to talk about Republican bulk book buying. The scam continues.
Yes, that's a hoot.
Yeah, this is lots of interesting names here. We got Ted Cruz and... This is the big scam that continues on the Republican side. It's nothing new, but there's a new dimension to it, and the process continues. Also, a little bit of Glenn Greenwald here coming up, and I want to talk about John Oliver's piece about bankruptcies from Sunday night. Interesting segment that he did on that. So we're going to be talking about that and a whole lot more on the Postmortem Show that comes up on our Patreon page, BobSeskaShow.com or Patreon.com/BobSeskaShow. You can sign up for just $5 a month, and that'll get you the Postmortem Show. If you sign up at $10 a month, you get the two Postmortem Shows a week, plus the Friday After Party with me and Kimberly Johnson. David Ferguson, T-Rex, filled in for Kimberly on Friday's After Party.
Right.
It was a fun-as-hell show, and we covered... As you can imagine, it was David. We covered lots and lots of ground. Some
people loved it.
Most of which I hadn't intended to talk about, but there it was anyway. Meanwhile, you can find Buzz on Twitter at Michael J. Elston, or I think you can just search for Buzz Burbank. It'll come right
Either
up.
Either one. They both work.
There you go. And also make sure to follow him on Facebook as well, even though we're souring on the Facebook platform.
Yeah, but we love you anyway.
Absolutely. Okay, we got to convince you to get an Instagram. Do you have an Instagram, Buzz? I don't remember.
I don't know.
Okay.
I got nothing.
We'll leave it at that then. Okay, again, that's coming up on our Patreon page. Meanwhile, don't forget, we've got Maisie Hirono next week on the show.
Yes.
That'll be a week from tomorrow. Maisie Hirono, United States Senator from Hawaii. I can't effing wait. All right, that's it for the show. See you on the postmortem. Take care, folks. Bye-bye.
Get well, Ted.
A bong.